Class is now in session. And the UPS Store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Canceled Podcast.
Oh my gosh.
It feels so good.
The amount of times we've said that, but I mean it the most this time.
Yeah, obviously we've been saying it on stage every night, but being at home, like, are you so happy?
It felt like I was never going to come back here in life.
I walked up here for the first time and like just saw the couch and I was like, oh.
It's so crazy because we weren't actually gone for that long, but it feels like I came back to like a whole new
life. I completely agree. I think that in some ways tour felt like 1 minute. This leg, obviously we're going back out, but we're home for 3 weeks right now. And it felt like 1 minute, but it also felt like 1 year.
Yeah, I was noticing that when we were there because like I'd look back on like certain shows that felt like a lifetime ago because it was like there had been so many since then. But then I would think about like being back at home and it felt like yesterday.
Yeah, it's so crazy. How have you been enjoying your time at home,
bro? Oh, I've been having such a good time. Although I've been ignoring all my responsibility. Like everybody thinks I'm dead. I've just been telling.
That's so good, though. I love that. I came home and I hit the ground running, dude. Like
I know, I can't believe you did that. I told everybody around me, I said, listen to me, you do not ask me to work for at least 3 days.
Yeah, which I thought that that's how I would be. Like Seth called me, my manager, and was just like, hey, take the week off. Like, and I was like, no, give me. Like, I think that my excitement to be home in LA is superseding my exhaustion.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit concerned. And a lot of people who like tour and stuff have told me like, that you get depressed when you come back. And I did kind of like have it a little bit after our last tour, like just where it feels like there's so much happening and it's so exciting and so much adrenaline. And then you just are sitting on your couch and you're like, well, what now?
Absolutely.
So I've been trying to stay busy, but like busy doing things I want to do, not work.
We both have been on our like health too, which is really good. We've both been, sore from a workout right now. I feel like a year ago, we both would have been like hungover right now, which I think is growth.
I know it is. Yeah. I haven't drank since I've been back, but I've been going to aloe. I've been working out.
Yeah. So tell me about your aloe.
We've only been home for 3 days and I've gone 2 days. First time I've been like, they've been saying like, you have to work out with this new trainer we got. Like he's so hot. Like he's the hot trainer. I'm thinking in my head, like me and like two other girls, like it usually is, or one other girl completely by myself.
So I saw your TikTok, but like, give me a little more lore. Apparently he's like famous.
Because he's Harry Styles' trainer. Okay. And what's funny is we're talking and he's like, I'm like, yeah, I was on tour. And he's like, oh, I was on tour. And he was like, yeah, I went to like all these countries. He's talking about it. And he's like, yeah, asking me about Coachella. And he's like, yeah, my best friend headlined a couple years ago. I'm like, oh, cool. Like not thinking at all. And then finally at the end of the class, he's like, yeah, you know, like Harry Styles. I go, I sure do know Harry Styles,
yeah,
actually.
What the fuck? Is he hot? Like hot? Like you actually want to like
he's
date him?
He's hot. Type? No, he's not like my type, but he's hot anyway. And like you don't want a hot personal trainer. That's just like the last quality you want in a personal trainer.
But it's
in general.
Such a sick different level of motivation.
Until you're working harder than you should be, and you have to ask him to please stop because I'm gonna throw up. I literally, I'm not kidding. My whole face went white. He was like, what do you need? He's like running around getting me water. Like I was gonna pass out.
I don't know if I'm necessarily very brand friendly, so I haven't tried to go to Aloe.
No one's ever said to me that you're not. Someone told me before I ever got invited that I was not. So I'm like, well.
Well, then obviously I fucking wouldn't be. But now you're going and I've been seeing you go and it looks so fun and like everyone going and I'm trying to get into my workout shit. So I fucking asked Jeff to go with him because Jeff goes sometimes and Jeff's not brand friendly. So I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I
like
guess that's true. And Harry Jowsey goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I texted Jeff, but then I was like, wait, I don't want to fucking go with Jeff. Like,
no, you have to come. Oh my God, it's so fun. I was supposed to go with Jake Shane this morning. So that's what happened this morning. I'm like, supposed to go with Jake. I'm all excited. I get there at 9 a.m., okay? But it's like 8:45. I'm almost there. And he texts me and he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, my meeting got moved. I'm not going to make it. And I'm like, I changed my class to come to be with you.
9 a.m. is crazy coming. Too. Because that's like an up at 7:45 situation.
Yeah, no, I was up at 7:15 because I had to leave my house at 8. It was a whole thing. But I'm already there. So I'm like, whatever, I'm going to do the class. And it's with another trainer that I've never worked with. She's so hard. Like her classes are so hard.
I would cry.
And that's why I was shaking like Jake today. I was like, I completely understand how this keeps happening to him because like it was so hard. But she's sitting there and she's like, oh, it's fine. Like that he canceled. We're just going to have this girl named Madeline Argy come. I was like, oh my God, I'm her biggest fan. I've talked about it on Canceled a million times. Like I'm obsessed with Madeline Argy.
So fucking obsessed with her.
And I'm sick. I'm like, she just recently followed me on TikTok. So I was like, okay, like it's not like that weird. Like she knows who I am. So I can like say hi and stuff. Mm. But I was like all nervous. I'm like, oh no, she comes in. She's like really quiet and like reserved. And we're like working out. It's the fucking hardest workout I've ever done in my life. Yeah. I was literally shaking, sweating, like crying. It was horrible. And this trainer the whole time is asking me questions. She's like asking me all these questions about my life and bless her heart. But I'm like, I can't fucking talk. I can barely move. And so I was just word vomit. And the whole way home, I thought to myself, like, I cannot believe I just said all of that information in front of my favorite influencer of all time. Like literally. Yeah. And then she made a TikTok about me. And she said,
I did that. I thought that was so cool. I saw that on my timeline too. And I was like, no way. Like, I just love that she loves you.
I know. But it was funny because like she made it sound like, she was like, oh my God. And the Brooke Schofield was there. I'm like, please be so for real. She like fell into the reformer, but because our workout was the hardest fucking workout ever. So I didn't even think anything of it, but she's like, I'm so embarrassed.
That's actually so cute. I feel like you guys are going to like become great friends. And it's
I love
be really cute.
Her so much. I told her, I DM'd her and I was like, check this one out. I'm going to force you into a friendship. Cause if I knew she liked me, oh my God, I would have been, my head would have been this big.
Yeah.
I love her, but it was so fun. And now I'm here.
Should we talk about tour?
Yeah, for sure.
So obviously we should fucking talk about tour, but like, it's so hard because I don't want to sit here and like do the show that we did for the people, but our show ended up consisting of all the fucking crazy shit that happened on tour. And I feel like the people at home also want to know what happened.
Yeah. Maybe we give a nice little Spark Notes version.
Yeah. I like that.
We had some crazy storm the stage situations.
Dude, I was talking about this with Jeff yesterday and it's like, I know our fans are fucking crazy just like us. Like, obviously.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, we reward that behavior.
It does just create this murky area, this line of, like, what is okay and what is not. And I loved so much of the crazy antics. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the girls wearing all the crazy shirts that said the craziest shit. Like, I have 1,000 photos in my camera roll of FMR shirts and... The DC show was fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That was.
Do I talk about that?
Well, it's so funny because you were so the type of bitch like you did that.
I know. Obviously, if you didn't see, I brought all the girls from the Matt Rife group chat on stage at the DC show. OK, and you have to understand there was thought behind this. All right. It wasn't like me just being malicious and trying to make this like point to Matt Rife. I don't give a fuck if Matt Rife ever sees me ever again. I have been talking to these girls forever. We got to know each other and we like honestly became so close. All of us talk all the time about all our new guys now, like who's hooking up with who, like what's going on, the dates that we go on and stuff. And we talk constantly. So I'm like, I want to be around these girls, but like we have to make it funny if we're going to do it. Yeah. Cause like, hello, like
he dragged you to DC, held you at gunpoint at the Holocaust Museum on Valentine's Day, just to be dating all these other girls at the same exact time.
Exactly.
Like, why are you not going to bring them out on stage? And I think the point of the live show is to be crazier than the actual podcast.
Yeah, we did that. I did that for the canceled fans, okay? I did not do that for revenge on Matt Rife or anything like that. I did that as like a little funny thing for the canceled fans.
And they ate it up. It was so fucking funny.
But it was so fun and they were also amazing. I like went to lunch with them obviously before. And it's just crazy. Like all of us are so, I say that we're so different, but then I said that to all our friends and then you guys met them and we were like.
Same bitch, different font, but very different walks of life. And I think it was very funny because you all are from all corners of the United States. Like it almost to me seemed like he was.
On a cross country tour.
Exactly. Like, and doing it on purpose. Like if I date this girl that lives in Milwaukee and this girl that lives in LA at the same time, they'll never find each other. So it's funny that. You know what I mean?
I said this before, but like when I was in high school, like a guy was talking to me and another girl at the same time. So I like purposefully posted on my Snapchat, like me and her. That was like
absolutely.
What I felt like I was doing, but it was also like when else in life are we all going to even be in the same state, let alone like.
Absolutely.
So I had to make it DC, obviously, because hilarious. He was Mr. DC. It's a DC show. It was at Lincoln Theater. It was like a whole thing.
Not to go too deep into the actual like emotions behind things, but I think that he did a lot to really make you feel like this podcast was so small in comparison to his comedy career.
Yeah, and I don't think he did that. I'll give him that. I don't think he did that.
Well, you could never sell out rooms like I sell out rooms. So then to sell out.
Well, he didn't say that. No, he never said that. But
but that was his.
He kind like he just was kind of condescending about the podcast, like in social media in general, like as if it was kind of like it was not a real career compared to like comedy. So I was like, okay, check this one out.
Yeah,
we could do this too. I'm like, absolutely. If a man can do it,
duh. Fucking duh. So that show was fucking amazing. But I mean, anyways, so back to the craziness. I really wasn't trying to segue into the FMR of it all. I was just thinking about crazy shirts. And like a lot of the craziness was so funny. You know what I mean? Girls just being so drunk and the shit that they were wearing and people, you know what I mean? Like the girls who printed out our heads all big and it was you crying and me toothless, like in the crowd, like people just did a lot of funny shit. But there is a line where a lot of people did a lot of shit that I definitely personally could have gone without. And I'm sure that will continue happening as we tour. Like it's not going to change. We had that girl rush the stage in New Jersey. That was the most scared I was on tour.
That situation was a little unique too because that girl wasn't drunk. So
Brooke and I are on stage. We're talking our shit. And I mean, I never really express this to you because I don't want to project my anxiety onto you before we go out onto stage, obviously. But I, even just the entire time that I'm doing the show, like I'll disassociate for a second and I get really scared. Like I just get paranoid of people and stalkers and scary situations that have happened, whatever. And we're on stage in New Jersey and we're talking our shit. And this girl, she walks up onto stage. Like, it wasn't even like because we've had a couple other stage rushers that we'll get into in a second. But it was like, I think security just thought she was going back to her
seat. I thought she worked for the venue. So,
I'm obviously in black. Like,
yeah, she's in black. She had a water bottle in her hand. I thought she was like either bringing us a water bottle. I don't know what I thought, but I'm like staring at her and it took me a second to process. So I was like, just still as can be. But my girl over here was Usain Bolt. You were out of there and you left me there for dead.
Well, here, I think that it's funny because I saw a lot of TikToks about the psyche behind it. Like how certain
like
people
fight or
are
flight, like,
yeah, exactly. Like I am so flight. It is like, I couldn't even think. Like, and I just, you know what I mean?
But it's like, because you've had so many things like actually happen to you. I haven't had like a lot of scary situations like that would make me paranoid.
Yeah, that's true.
If your life feels a little chaotic, like the drama that always seems to follow influencers, Thrive Market can help bring some order to your routine. Thrive Market is an online, membership-based grocery store that delivers high-quality groceries right to your door. Everything shows up fast and easy. Clean snacks, pantry staples, even supplements. They carry trusted brands like Rouse and Chomps, so you can shop from your couch and skip the stress. Plus, over 1,000 sketchy ingredients are restricted, so you can feel good about what you're eating. Go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and get 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And I think you also just innately are a more benefit of the doubt person than me. Like, I am worst case
scenario. Yeah, I have blind trust in everybody. Like, that girl was 100%. What was she going to do when she got to me? Because she was literally in my lap.
Yeah.
Like, and she wasn't going to stop. I'm like, was she going to hit me, throw water on me? Like, sit in my lap. I don't know what was going to happen, but.
And also just that night, I have to just say this right now. Like, so we get off stage. First of all, I do run off stage and I'm like backstage. Like I fall to the floor. Like my heart's beating out of my chest. I wanted to cry. Obviously I have to go back out there. So I walk back out. I spend the rest of the show like horrified, but doing my best. And I think it still was a really good, we were able to get back into the rhythm and crack jokes about it. And I feel like almost the crowd enjoyed that show more than it not happening because it was so crazy and we were able to be funny about it. You know what I mean? But after we leave, we walk off stage and I'm having the panic attack of a fucking century. Like in that moment, my mind immediately just goes to like, is this even worth it? Like, you know what I mean? Which sucks because I love touring. But it's, like, that's how much of a panic attack I'm having, you know? And we get in the fucking car and we're leaving the fucking venue. and we're driving out random Uber, like random fucking Uber that we get into, and a fan throws herself at the moving vehicle. I'm talking like rolls over the car.
It's on video. There's a TikTok of it. I saw. Mm-hmm.
I saw the TikTok too. It's so different watching that happen and being in the car.
Yeah. Like that's the thing. Like, in the photo or in the video, it almost looks like barely anything happened. But for us, it was like, oh my God, we just hit someone with our car. Like,
yeah. She threw herself at the moving fucking vehicle. And it was just, and the Uber driver was so funny about it too. He was like, man, I just got my car washed. Like, and I was trying to like laugh, but it just,
I'm sorry.
Shit like that. You're sorry for coughing. You are so fine, sister. McCall walks in the room today. He's like, is that my little coffee girl? I was like, God damn it. Like, I was just hacking.
Oh, I thought you meant like coffee. Like,
no. Okay. I was coughing. But shit like that is so fucking nuts to me. I do not condone it at all. I do not like those people. I'm sorry to say it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like think it's like fun and it's just like how to get your attention. But like, don't please. Like, that's scary.
And it's a lot of that. And it's hard because I'm always the type of person to try to put myself into the mindset of that person. Even the girl who walked on stage, I was like, maybe she's drunk. But then we got DMs from her friends after and she was in like a manic episode. And that shit, It makes it so much scarier too. You know
also,
what I mean?
Also, I'm just confused. Like, I mean, about that situation altogether. But like, did the people, like, where were they? Mm-hmm. Did they let her go?
That's so true. Because like, if I tried to do some shit like that, you're yanking me. Oh,
you're by your trucks.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. And again, we have such a wild fan base that I think a lot of shit is, I don't know. I think people just think anything goes. Truly anything goes.
I think though, really about how many thousands of people came out and how few real like instances we had. It's not like...
Yeah, exactly. So it is like, it is the 1%. But even just like the people that were doing shit to our bus, it was our first week of tour was so crazy. Like I felt like fucking Beyonce. Like it was just.
Yeah. I understand the bus thing a little bit more, to be honest, because I feel like that's something I would have done like maybe as a teenager, probably not now.
That's what I was trying to get into, that I try to have the empathy of like, I'm imagining myself as a teenager. I'm a super fan for someone like, but still like. I think it's harder because these girls are like 25 and it's like, so we'd get off the show and we'd get to our bus and there would be a couple hundred people around the bus, like grabbing at everyone, shaking, grabbing at McCoa, grabbing at the tour managers, screaming, mad at us for not, because I don't endorse that behavior. I think it's like, I'm going to get on the bus and it's like, I'm not going to do a separate, maybe a couple years ago, I would have sat out there and done the second meet and greet outside of the bus and all. But I think that says, hey, come do this. And all of our merch girl and our tour manager and all of the people who want nothing to do with that. You know what I mean?
It's the same energy showing up at someone's house. Like we live there.
Yeah. And we're
like done with our night and we just like, you know, we're there for all these hours.
Banging on the windows, throwing shit at the windows of the fucking bus, waiting there until
chanting,
we leave.
Screaming
at our other people. Again, like I think that we sit on this couch every week. We choose this. So it's like, and don't get me wrong, these people also chose the job to go on tour with people. So I, you know, but still just seeing like Brie and Ellie and all of them get like screamed at and fucking chased down by these people who are waiting outside this bus for hours is just so wild. But we eventually, all of these things taught us all of the protocols that need to be taken that we never thought would need to be taken. And
yeah, this tour, like, versus the last one, I was literally like, holy fuck. Like, what is this?
Yeah, it was definitely just a different beast because our first run was, like, little comedy rooms. And
yeah, and, like, but it just, I don't understand what changed between then and now because it's not like I feel like Cancel got, like, so much bigger or anything, but, like, this situation, it felt like.
Unlike anything I've ever done.
It was crazy and amazing and so fucking cool.
So, yeah, we're honing in on the negative shit. Like, that's just because it's crazier to talk about. All of the positive shit was, like, fucking amazing. Like, everyone we met and their stories and, you know, like.
It was so fucking fun.
Like, was so fucking awesome. And the shit that we get to say on that stage, even I've said this before, but when we sit back down on the couch, I have to really dial it back because I'm used to just putting it all out there.
Dude, it's crazy. And for the first, I mean, we had like kind of a couple shows that we like, you know, experimented with. Like in one of the shows, I was telling like a horrible story about this guy that I was like kind of talking to. Like a horrible story.
I mean,
story.
He was horrible.
Like
though.
Making him sound horrible.
He was horrible.
And I told that story, you know, 20 times, like whatever it is, in front of thousands of people each time. And that man asked me to dinner last night. And so I'm like, the canceled fans, like, especially at the live shows, I'm like, thank you so much for your loyalty.
Yes, honest I can't. To God. I can't express that enough. I told so many stories that would put me in prison.
But really, if I told truly, them on the internet. Like, because I got so much anxiety like halfway through the tour where I was like, I can't do that anymore. Like, yeah. It just made me feel guilty. But like, it is so crazy that he does not know. And
at
like,
all.
It's amazing. Like, yeah. First and last name. Like, I love you guys. Thank you.
I wish so horribly she would just tell the story on the actual Cancel podcast because the story is fucking nuts and the man is fucking awful. But I get it. I get it. I will say one thing that I really love. I was saying this yesterday to Jeff and I've been thinking about this a lot is all of the positive reviews like also mean so much to me. Like mm-hmm. knowing that people left and are going online and they were like, that was the best night ever is awesome. And I think that every single time we walked off that stage, I felt like we gave people a fucking amazing show. And I've never been the type of person to gas myself in that way. But like, I think the show was fucking incredible, worth every penny. And like, I can't wait to keep doing it. And I think that's a really awesome feeling. Cause you never want to leave a tour and feel like, did I fucking rob these people? Like, you know
yeah,
what I mean? And
I agree. I feel like, yeah. The last time even, I felt like it was a little bit like cheaper. I feel like we tried harder on this one.
Yeah. And I think that they still enjoyed it the last time, but we were like, we were playing Jenga and just exposing influencers.
More casual.
Still awesome to watch like for the canceled listeners. Cause it was, but this was like a great show. And I feel like we got so good at it. And I'm just... I think we're going to be touring a lot more than we thought we were. Which
I'm just going to say, I do also like now that I know what it is and I know what to expect going out there, I feel like I'm living life now with the show in mind. Like, oh, this is going to be something that I can bring.
Yes.
This is something I can bring. Or I'm doing this for the show kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Because now it is more way more serious and I want to have really, really good stories.
Yeah, I'm this fall. I think we're going to be back on the road and just what is coming is so nuts.
Yeah, I got lots of new added dates yesterday. Are we allowed to say that? I mean, not what the
potential
dates are.
Added dates, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't. If we missed you, no, we didn't.
Yeah, if we missed you, no, we fucking didn't.
Did anything exciting happen, like not having to do with the shows? We did a lot of like family time. We had an amazing team. We had the best tour manager ever.
Yeah, you guys will meet her in an episode we recorded, maybe. Yeah. That ever comes out. But we did just have the best all girls team. And I can't accredit that enough to how we are as well. Like, I think that we talked about this before. We just went and spent every fucking day together. And it's a lot of work. And I wanted, before I fucking say that, I just want to clarify. On the last episode of the Canceled podcast, the one we shot in Nashville. We were talking about how it's a lot of work and everyone was like, oh my God, so many people have 9-to-5s. How could you say this? That is not at all what we were saying, that the hours are a lot of work or anything. I was saying that emotionally, it is unlike anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
I think the mental aspect of it is the thing that I think is hard.
I would like to see all of these people in those comments hating go
be perceived. All night. I mean, that's the hard part for me is being perceived.
And like, it doesn't tired, sick, whatever. I want to give every single person that I talk to 100% of the me that they love expect online. So it's so much emotional. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what it is comparable to me? Like, this is what I like, how I would describe it is like having your own, like having a wedding every night. You know how like weddings are actually just so stressful because you have to entertain every person's there for you and you have to entertain them and make sure they're having a good time. Like that's how it feels. Like every person you meet, you have to like put on, and socially it's like, it is hard. It's like, it's like I have social anxiety as it is. And like going to a party, I get nervous about like my interactions and stuff. And imagine having to do that like thousands of times. It's just like, it's hard mentally because after I'm hyperanalyzing every single thing
and, like,
I said
and did. And
like,
you can't go out on that stage and be fucking chill. And like, if your social battery is 100, you have to give it 300 every day, even if you woke up on 0. And that can be a lot mentally. Yeah. But what I was getting at was we were nervous as to how this would affect our relationship. Like being together every day, like draining our battery like that, working so hard. And
I was certain that we were going to come back hating each other. But because, I mean, valid because we literally did not get along at all on the last tour at all. And I don't think we really talked about that much. Like we really fought the whole time.
Oh yeah, Jort's gay and just everything. But it's funny because we soon realized that 80% of the reason that we were fighting on the last tour was because we did not have the correct team. And this team was so amazing. Like we were
so
having
amazing.
To do the jobs of so many other people and so many other people's stress and just poor work was being put onto us. And our views on that and shit was just making us fucking fight, you
and
know?
Resent each other and like, oh my God.
So many ways.
Every single little aspect, I felt like it was just all bad. Yeah. But this one, like, first of all, you were never late, which is my number one trigger. Like my just being late or like feeling like I'm going to get in trouble for something or I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And so that was like the main thing. And that just never happened.
But even just like all we had to do was our jobs. And this team was so amazing. And with that, it made us, I think we are the closest we've ever been.
I literally told Hunter that the other night. I was like, I love her and I've always loved you, but I like, you know, I get mad.
Well, and I've always loved you too. Like, please don't ever get that twisted. No, like
the way Hunter explained it to me, he was like, he's like, yeah, Tana called me and told me like, if Brooke was like this all the time, like, I'm like, damn.
No, it's not. That is not how I said that. I wasn't
like as high. I'm normally like pretty high strung. Like that's my personality. And I wasn't this time because I felt like everything was taken care of and I didn't have like a lot of pressure on me on the back end.
Yeah. I think we both were exactly why we love each other. Mm-hmm. Like the good parts, like we're able to just be who we were fully. And it, like, I'm not kidding. I'm fucking obsessed with you. I can't wait to go back out on the road.
It was crazy, you guys. We'd be in our hotels like, hello, like I haven't seen you in 12 hours.
Like I miss you. I missed you more than ever. Like when I was apart from you, like I feel closer to you than ever. And it was just so awesome to be in an environment that truly let why we ever became friends in the first place shine. And like,
I agree. And it was just such a special like experience too. So that's like, it was kind of like, I don't know, it was just so cool
to get to do together too. It's like,
I thought about that, like, cause comedians and stuff, like, I guess you still have your friends and stuff on the road, but I think it's so cool that we like literally get to do it together. Cause no one else gets to do that.
Yeah. Getting to be a fucking duo. It's awesome because we get to carry each other on a day where if one of us is on, it's like a marriage. You know what I mean?
I would have moments like that too, where I was like, Tana, I cannot talk. And she's like, okay.
And same. And we got to carry each other so much. And I don't want to call it a trauma bond because it wasn't traumatic, but whatever you could call that in the opposite.
Yeah.
Like the whatever that would be in a good way is exactly like we bonded. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just bonding. Just bond. Bonding.
Like it was just so like I would leave my body and look at you on stage when you were talking and I would just be like, God, she's so good. She's so proud. I'm so proud of her. Like, and I know I'm sure you felt the same way. Like
That's what it was too. I said that. I'm not kidding. I just had this conversation with somebody else, but I just admired you so much in it because I felt like you were so good at it. And like the fact I would get stressed out because I would wake up and I'd have the whole day to think about, oh, we have this show tonight. Like, what are we going to do? Or what are we going to say? Like, and you'd wake up at fucking 4 p.m. meet and greet is 5. We haven't even had a conversation and you get up in there up there and you like know everything you're gonna say. I'm like, how does she do that?
You are so sweet. I admire you so much too. It's like, it is funny, Tor fucked my sleeping schedule though. That is one thing. It's great now. I'm back in LA. I've been up early every day, but
probably because we were East Coast too. So it was like technically earlier here. Technically you're like,
yeah, I was going to bed at like 6 a.m. and waking up at like fucking 3 p.m.
Yeah, so now it's 3.
Yeah, so which is awesome, but for being home. But I mean, yeah.
If your life feels a little chaotic, like the drama that always seems to follow influencers, Thrive Market can help bring some order to your routine. Thrive Market is an online, membership-based grocery store that delivers high-quality groceries right to your door. Everything shows up fast and easy. Clean snacks, pantry staples, even supplements. They carry trusted brands like Rouse and Chomps, so you can shop from your couch and skip the stress. Plus, over 1,000 sketchy ingredients are restricted, so you can feel good about what you're eating. Go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and get 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And my insomnia, like just me personally on that bus, like I'm not going to bedtime at all, like on a moving bus, like early. So that definitely like fucked me a little, but I also thrive on that sleep schedule. So
you also slayed being sober.
Thank you so much, Brooke.
I'm so proud of you. That's like really fucking cool.
It was so hard. It was so hard for me.
I will say it made it harder for me that I was drinking, but I don't think I could have done it without it. That's something I want to work on in the future because I don't like, that's not a sustainable life. Like I cannot drink every single night.
Yeah.
But I had to this time. I was so scared.
And so, I mean, if I could drink the way that you drink, I would have been there drinking with you.
Yeah,
you
know, I wasn't like drunk every night, but every night before I'm going on stage, I'm taking 3 shots at least.
Yeah. I mean, and again, yeah, if I could, I fucking would. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, the sobriety of it all. I think this is the longest I've been sober ever.
Well, I'm loving it. I think you should keep it up.
And I am. I plan on it. I just, man, I don't have fun like I used to. And I'm hoping that. And don't get me wrong. Like, I feel like when I say that, it's like I do, I get to do other hobbies, and in work, I'm the best I've ever been. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? In every way, I'm hardworking as fuck. And that's fun within itself. But like anything fun, like a fun thing with friends, I just have so much less fun. And it's not that I'm even surrounding myself with like drinkers. It's just like things where people have a drink at. Like,
I get what you mean, but. I don't know. I'm still an active drinker and I'm not having any fun.
I also think it's like, dude, how old I really fucking feel hits me now. Like how, like my body fucking hurts. Like,
yeah, no, you're aware of what's real.
Yes, exactly. Like walking around Disney, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I just wish that I could be drinking around the world with all of them at Epcot. Like they're having so much fun. And I'm like, oh, my body hurts. Like, oh, like. Yeah, I just, you know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah. I just don't have as much fun, and I would love to figure out how to. Coachella is, I'm horrified to do Coachella sober. I fear I'm going to hate it so much.
Well, Mike and Jeff are both sober, right?
Mike's not.
Oh.
Jeff is. But Jeff doesn't have that much fun, like at Coachella.
Yeah.
Like, and then I know that argues the line of like, then is it really fun if you're not having fun sober?
But yeah, like, but listen, yes, like, it is. Like, yeah, walks like a duck, talks like a duck. I get what you're saying. Like
a couple shots would just make me enjoy the 14,000 steps that is Coachella. A couple shots would make me enjoy.
I wish there was like something that wasn't alcohol that was alcohol.
I fully agree. Socializing with like drunk people and like all of that, like a couple shots would just make that loose and fun, and it just won't be. So I don't know what I'm gonna do.
We'll still have fun.
There is a part of me that wants to just drink, and I may.
I mean,
and really try to test my moderation.
I think you're not going really with any like extreme drinkers, but like, I know you say it's like kind of just a you thing, but like, I don't know. I don't drink a lot. I drink, but I don't drink a lot, and I have a good time.
That's like, maybe is like, my biggest goal, dude. Like if I could just fucking figure out moderation, I'm golden.
I know, but like, it's like,
that's what every just alcoholic like not ever a thing, says.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And we will
It's
see.
Not like the worst thing in the world. It's not like you're a fucking crackhead. Like if you drink, it's not like a, like, horrible thing, but yeah. I really am. I think it's like cool the streak you have, and it almost like,
yeah,
the longer you can go, the cooler it
the
is.
Good of it is like the best thing in the world, and that's why I do love it, and I'm loving life. I'm like the happiest I've ever been, so it's,
yeah, you are so happy. Everyone says that on like TikToks and stuff. They're like, she's glowing. Helped to have your boyfriend on tour too, because it was like, you're just like,
it did. I mean, all of it, like, I have no, for the first time ever in my life, I have like no issues in life. Like, mm-hmm. I'm starting to unpack like old issues that I've like bottled up and shit, but like life is just so good, and I'm mm-hmm. so aware of it and like so grateful. And I don't think I've ever felt that way. So that's like cool for
that
sure.
That is very cool.
That is, I'm definitely grateful for that. So I signed with an agency for the first time in my career.
Yay.
Which is so interesting, because I just was never the agency type. They didn't want me. I didn't
want
them.
That's so crazy. Like they should have wanted you all along.
I mean,
it doesn't make sense though. Cause like, hello, money. Like that's so much money.
Yeah. And they did. There were agencies that wanted me, but the deals were just bad. Like they're like, we'll take you and we'll bring you brand deals. And but it just, there was no point. I didn't need agents, and agents didn't need me, you know, but I finally just did. And that means that like, I have a bunch of meetings coming finally about a book deal.
Yay.
It's so funny because all these years I was like, oh my God, I want to release a book. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm ready. Like I have all these stories, but I'm so glad I didn't, because the mindset that I was in, even so writing different. What I have written is so like, I'm so excited to really get into writing while I'm this happy and able to reflect with such a clear mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But, yeah. Versus before.
Yeah.
I think it'd be so good. I'd be so excited.
Yeah. It's so interesting, Brooke. Tell me, like, really, I want to know your thoughts on this. So many people did so many bad things to me, right? Yeah. And I'm going to write about them. and they are true.
Yeah. Are you going to say their names or no?
Even if I don't, I think it'll be a situation where people will know exactly who I'm talking about for the most part. Why do I feel guilty? Like, you know what I mean? Why it's like,
I mean, trust me, you know, I know all about that. The feeling guilty for no fucking reason, but.
And so many of these people too, I'm still like cordial with because I've never spoken out about who, what they did to me.
Yeah. You know, but listen, I mean? So like, so long as you're honest and you're telling it from your actual like perspective, you like no one can really get mad at you for telling a story from how. So,
yeah, I know. I guess I'm severing all these relationships, I think, by doing that. But what? It is just a weird psychological thing. Why do I care?
Not like, everyone you lose is a loss.
100%. I guess it's just all these weird attachments I have to fucked up people. And it's, I get
that.
Be-
and you want to protect people, like, because whether you love them now, like if you loved them ever, I feel that way. Like sometimes.
They aren't all the bad things. They aren't all.
Yeah. And
the
sometimes
bad things
good
they
people
did.
Do shitty things.
Yeah. And that's, it's so interesting. But I've been reading a lot of books. Like I just read Jeanette McCurdy's book, and even that, like, that must have been so hard for her. I guess her mom died, so that was like a cool thing that she was able to, like, it yeah. probably would have been a completely different book had her mom been alive. And I think I'm writing
that's
about
why
a lot
I
of,
don't talk about any family stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like, everyone's still alive.
Yeah, I think that's hard. I'm writing about a lot of fucking alive people, but I don't know, it's gonna be interesting. But that has been bringing up so much trauma in my head.
It's kind of hard with the particular audience you have too, because they do just go attack people like crazy. Yeah.
And when these people find out shit that was happening to me all yeah. these years, like, I think they're going to be like, holy fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's nutty for sure, but who knows?
I'm excited. I hope you write it soon. Well, you've been writing it already.
I'm getting to real work on that. It's a goal of mine. But I want to get back to tour. I really like, do we tell, when we go back out on this second leg, we're not going to tell the stories we told on stage.
Yeah, but I think I just, I unfortunately accidentally bored myself to death of those stories.
I know. But I'm just trying to feel for the viewer at home.
Well, they know about the Pepper Air tag, Peppa.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't really want to get into that whole story because I fear that I will go miss wine tour. I don't want these people to find these girls in Texas, kidding, who may or may not have put an air tag into a Peppa Pig, which is just nutty. I mean, the air tag of it all is a little nutty because it's like our tour schedule's online. I don't understand.
That's why I think that's why I don't think it's that nutty, is because it, like, they didn't accomplish anything by doing it. But if they were to do that in, like, in just regular life, like
murderers.
Like, yeah,
for sure.
A like girl, putting a tracker on your car or something.
A girl brought bear spray, a giant can of bear spray, to our show in New Orleans. And she was, I don't know what her intentions were with bear mace in
it
her
pants.
It is
hard to say because it's like, you are in New Orleans, like one of the most dangerous cities in the world. But also, like, a fire hydrant sized can of bear spray is pretty crazy.
In your pants. New Orleans was just nutty as is because it was our first show. And I've said it a million times, you know how I feel about fucking New Orleans. Nothing good ever fucking happens to me there. It's so funny because this is our show.
I'm like, whoa.
We talked about this literally on stage. But we got there, and this was, we were doing meet and greets originally after the shows, and one show in New Orleans was enough for me to realize that we were never doing that again.
At all.
Because girls get so drunk, and as I love meeting everyone so much, but doing a meet and greet of meeting like hundreds of
benefits from that, because I'm like, they don't want to meet you drunk anyway. They don't remember it.
Yeah, I agree. And the second these girls take shots, I think that they're like, how can I sexually assault Tana?
For sure.
Like, I just, which is wild. You know what I mean? But after that show, our security was playing Call of Duty on an iPad. We found out. We caught him
fully. But we found out Mardi Gras had just ended. So, like, everybody was, like, done for. Yeah. Like, they were checked the fuck out.
For sure. So, all of that was just nutty.
What was your favorite city? Do you have one? Or your favorite city and then also favorite crowd?
It is so, this is so fucking fucked to say, but I slept all day in 90% of the cities. I did not see them. I didn't see sunlight at all. Like, at all. The other day I was lying on the balcony, I was like, God, this feels amazing just getting vitamin D. Because I would sleep, wake up, walk into the venue and walk on. By the way, when I said on that episode that I had 500 steps, I was saying that was a small amount.
But you even said, I said, did you get a lot of steps? And you go, no, but everyone just missed that part.
Yeah, it got clipped on TikTok and everyone thought I was flexing my 500 steps. Like, that was a lot of steps. No, not at all. I've been trying to get fucking 10,000 since I'm home. Jesus. Yeah. So I based my favorite cities on good crowds, and I loved New Jersey.
Is my favorite crowd.
Springfield.
Or wait, Atlanta. New Jersey was my favorite crowd until we got to Atlanta, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Atlanta was just crazy.
San Antonio, Springfield, Atlanta, and New Jersey were my favorite crowds by far because they were just so fun and funny and loud and like, that show in Springfield was great because people were saying shit from the crowd and they were funny.
Fayetteville was fun too. That was the one where they were like, Boot Duval.
Oh yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. Favorite city? Why? I loved our day in New York. I saw no cities.
Oh yeah. You didn't really miss much. Like all we would do, like I would wake up probably like 10. We would go, Allison and I or Paige and I or whatever, like to get lunch. And then I would just sit on the bus until we went in the venue. So it wasn't like much. I had fun in Florida, but I went to on the roller coasters and stuff because our venue was like inside of
Universal Studios.
So we were like,
which was a huge dream of mine to play that venue. I never thought we'd
so
be able
crazy
to.
Hard Rock Live. It felt so cool and so kind.
It's inside of Universal Studios, and every time I'd always gone there, I'd be like, that must feel so crazy to like play that. And I was gagged. And inside that venue, they had all the people who played it, like Kanye and Taylor Swift, and a bunch of bands I like All American Rejects and The Fray, and
it was so fun,
stuff like that. It was so cool. I rode a roller coaster at Disney.
You did? No.
Well, I didn't.
No, you
didn't. I went on Soarin'.
She went on Soarin' over California. It was amazing. You would have died if I went on the Hulk or whatever at Universal. It was so scary and so crazy. I went on it like 7 times.
So when we were about to get on Soarin', I was so scared. But mind you guys, if you don't know what that ride is, you literally sit in a seat and it lifts you up like maybe 10 feet, but it looks VR like you're like over the ocean. And it was just, even that was too much for me. I was horrified. I was nauseous for hours after. Like, I hate.
That is so crazy.
I just hate roller coasters. But before we got on, everyone was so fed up with me too, because you know how I am. I'm like, is this scary, guys? I'm asking everyone a million times. And all of you were like, no, Tana, like it's fucking fine.
There's babies on this ride.
And so I stop asking everyone, obviously, to stop being annoying. So I looked it up on TikTok to like actually make sure it wasn't scary for me. And now my whole For You page is like roller coasters. Mm-hmm. And it's like making me want to try to face this fear.
Ugh, I want you to like them so bad. It's so fun.
But it's also just not fear. It's what it physically does to me. Like, it makes me so nauseous. It makes my body hurt.
Some of them do. Like yeah, for sure. Depending on what it is. Dude,
My bones, they hurt all the time.
Mom, like, when we would go to like fairs and stuff when I was little, she wouldn't even give us the option to not go on a ride. She'd be like, okay, pussy. We'd be like, oh, okay. So now I just go on everything because it's so fun.
Yeah, I want to try. I'm trying to fix that, but I don't fucking know if I will.
Something happened to me.
Wait, let me put on.
Putting on lip gloss before you tell a story that you know is going to get clipped is so funny.
I dissolved my lip filler yesterday, so my lip is like peeling off.
Yeah, I saw your TikTok. I'm your biggest fan. It hurt you really bad dissolving it.
So painful.
Well, last time when you were like, it wasn't painful at all, I was like,
it wasn't.
Everyone always says it's so painful.
This was the only time. Well, this time it felt like someone fucking burned my lips on a frying pan.
God damn.
But now I'm lip filler free, so you guys can stop bullying me, please. Had something happen to me during sex. Okay. And I have to share it with you because it was traumatic. This has never happened to me before.
Oh, I thought it had.
No, this was the first time. That's why I was so traumatized. But one time I had Bell's palsy. Okay. Bell's palsy, if you don't know, it is similar to whatever palsy Justin Bieber had, where your face just like stops working in some ways. Bell's palsy is usually one half of your face. So that happened to me one time. Half my face just stopped working, and I was sitting at dinner table and my grandma was like, did you have a fucking stroke? And she freaked out, and she had a stroke because she thought I was having a stroke.
The way you breadcrumb is unlike
anyone. She didn't really have a stroke. She had one later, but not this time. Anyway, I had Bell's palsy. It's not contagious, but she and I had it in the same month, which is just like the craziest thing ever because no one ever gets Bell's palsy. Anyway, I fucking had to wear an eye patch because my eye wouldn't close forever. And my mouth was going like this. And it just like, it was horrible. That's the only time I've ever experienced something like this where I just literally, my face was paralyzed. I am having sex a week ago, whatever it was. And
I know you hate the details of it all, but like, what position were you in?
I was in the getting eaten out position.
Okay.
If your life feels a little chaotic, like the drama that always seems to follow influencers, Thrive Market can help bring some order to your routine. Thrive Market is an online membership-based grocery store that delivers high-quality groceries right to your door. Everything shows up fast and easy. Clean snacks, pantry staples, even supplements. They carry trusted brands like Rouse and Chomps, so you can shop from your couch and skip the stress. Plus, over 1,000 sketchy ingredients are restricted, so you can feel good about what you're eating. Go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and get 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I noticed I could not fucking feel my face. And I couldn't, it was like, not like my whole face was numb. And I was like, I started trying to move my face and I couldn't. And I immediately just like went completely panicked and I freaked out and I screamed and I jumped and I went into the bathroom and I tried to smile and I couldn't smile. And I'm not kidding. This is the face I was making. I swear to fucking God, that's the only face I can make. I was,
were you like about to come?
Probably. I don't know. I was going. And I'm trying so hard to smile and I'm freaking out. I'm like, and I'm screaming at him. I'm like, oh my God, my face. I can't move my face. I can't move my face. And he's like, yes, you can. Like, yes, you can. And I'm like, I don't want him to see it. So I'm like, oh my God, it was so traumatic. I don't know what to do. I'm thinking like, I have to cancel the show. Like, what if we have to cancel a show? Cause I can't fucking move my face. And I didn't know
how
it was like sexual or anything. I thought it was just like something that was happening, like another palsy. It lasted probably 6 minutes. But I told all my friends about it after and they were like, what the fuck? And I Googled it. I did Google it and it says it does happen to people.
But why?
I don't know. Sometimes it'll happen like people can't open or close their hands like during sex. It's like a thing. Brooke Baldwin told me the same exact thing happened to her. And before I even made the face at her, she goes, yeah, and my face is doing this. And I was like, she gets me. Because like, what the fuck? And could you imagine, like, imagine if... Like, he'd been looking at me or something. And all of a sudden, I'm like, his dick would have done this.
I don't even know what, like, a part of me thinks I could, like, I couldn't even get up and scream. I think I'd put a pillow over it and just hope.
You think your face is paralyzed and you're going to finish the job?
Well, I get really bad Charlie horses, like, all the time.
Okay.
Okay. So this happens to me, like, kind of a lot. Like, where, like, my foot... Dude, I don't even know.
You need potassium.
I don't know though. I love a good banana.
You really slay the banana game.
I love bananas. like, cause you know how when during sex sometimes you like curl your toes.
Yeah,
but some like you.
No, I had to try it, and then I remembered.
Like I just feel like sometimes I'll be curling my toe during sex, and then all of a sudden my foot will cramp up, but it hurts. So bad. It hurts so bad. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like an 8.5. Like it really fucking hurts, right? Uh-huh. But every time that happens, like, and it hurts so bad.
The show must go on.
Yeah, like I don't stop. Like I
had to stop. But this is someone I'm comfortable with. So I was like, my face doesn't work. If it was like maybe like a stranger, I probably would have just.
I also think foot versus face is like a crazy, like, you know.
Face
what I mean?
Was crazy.
Yeah.
And I was afraid it was permanent.
What do you even do with it?
Because last time it lasted for a month or two.
Really?
Yes.
Is that a little iPad?
Some people don't go back to normal after Bell's palsy.
Oh my God, Captain Hook with your eye patch.
Oh.
I can't even.
Well, it was just like, it droops. Like your face like droops.
Brooke. Well, I'm really fucking happy your face went back to normal, but I
Me
just
too.
Can't.
Me too. Imagine I was like that. I don't know why I keep giving you guys the example. No, please don't screenshot.
I needed that visual. I can't even fucking believe. Did you go back to sex after?
No.
I get that. Just, I'd be so scared that it was going to happen again. Mm-hmm. Has it ever happened when you were jacking off, whacking it? We talk about whacking it a lot.
No,
over here.
No. It's never. I mean, this was my first time. My first time getting paralyzed during sex. Comment down below if that's ever happened to you.
I can't even actually fucking believe. You also got by a ghost. Sorry, 1 second. You also got...
No, that was a
by a ghost.
We stayed in a haunted hotel.
Well, you know that I've been by a lot of ghosts. And I thought it would be really cool if we could bond on that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had that really weird phase where I was having sleep paralysis and the demons would like do their big one. But then I would come in my sleep, you know. No. I told you about this.
She could.
I swear to God, all the time. I've made a YouTube videos about it, kind of. But I had really bad sleep paralysis for a really long time. But it really felt demonic, and it really felt like something was following me from house to house. And people who would sleep in the same bed as me, it would happen to them too. Like, I remember this guy I was hooking up with, like, it would happen to me next to him a bunch. And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it happened to him. And then he was like, we had the same dream at the same time. It started happening to Ashley, like, when she moved in with me, but never before that. It would always be like, I would have dreams, and it would be people that I know would morph into these demons, but then the demons would do their big one. They'd be like fucking me, but then it'd be so weird, or like eating me out, or like whatever. But like,
we'd like slay, I guess. But,
and it was so weird because it was like I wanted it to stop, but I also like didn't, kind of, because it like felt good, if that makes sense. Oh. And then I would wake up all the time to having literal orgasms.
That's special. I don't know what to say about that, because it sounds like weirdly, like,
but it was scary.
Traumatic.
I would always wake up really scared, like heart beating out of my chest. And I noticed, I'm being so fucking for real right now. I noticed that if I went a long time without coming, it would happen to me more frequently. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, so they were looking out for you.
So then I would have to make sure that I was on like a good regimen, because I didn't want it to happen.
Oh, that's good. So you were just whacking it every day.
Not even just enough to... mate, to keep them away. And it hasn't happened in a long time.
A flick a day keeps the demons away. You know that my grandma, like, before she like really like disappeared, she like had like a sixth sense, or like she just always had like a little bit of a like situation going on. And she'd seen this guy at the end of her bed, like for her entire childhood into adulthood, she'd seen this guy like every night at the end of her bed. And she would have like random like little instances where we were like thought she was like a little bit like of a clairvoyant situation. But when she started having like dementia and like being a little wacko, she one time I could hear her from upstairs, and she was talking, I thought on the phone, she's talking. I came downstairs and I asked her who she was talking to, and she said she was talking to her dad, and her dad was dead. So I was like, And this was like, she was already kind of saying like some weird stuff all the time. So I was like, what did he say? Like, and she's telling me about what he said. And I forget this lady's name, but he was like saying how this lady died. She was like in his neighborhood or whatever. And I was like, how weird. And I told my grandpa about it, and he was like, that's interesting. Like, whatever. The lady had died. She was exactly right about the lady dying and when, but we don't know why, because her dad told her that, and her dad was dead.
That's so crazy, Brooke. That's actually so crazy.
I know.
I really believe in clairvoyant people and psychics. Like, me too. Just to the fullest extent, because I've had a lot of weird psychic experiences. Do you want to know something crazy? You sent this TikTok to the group chat the other day, right? Of a lady who had a message for me.
Oh, who said, right? You're going to have a baby with a man who looks like he can throw a tree.
She also was giving me this message from my grandma. Essentially, like, I don't need to put the TikTok like in the podcast, but like she's a tarot card reader, and she talks about all of her clairvoyance all the time. And I guess her daughter watches me, so it made her have a message come through to me from my grandma, right? Mm-hmm. And I've told you the story before about how my grandma came through to me at JoJo Siwa's house.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Is her name like Marge or something?
Not
or
at
is
all.
She right?
Oh. I don't understand that. But here, just quickly of the grandma story, I'd been having all these dreams about my childhood, and about, my grandma's always in my dreams and all this stuff. And she had died and whatever. And I was at JoJo Siwa's house. This psychic comes up to me. She tells me that my grandma and my grandpa are there, and they're giving me a message. And she starts imitating their voices like completely. And they were like, my grandma was Southern, had a really high pitched Southern voice. My grandpa was Southern. He had a very like low, raspy, and she's imitating them perfectly. And I'm like, this is so weird. Like, how would she know that? Right. And so my grandma always had a hummingbird feeder in her yard. And she would just sit there in the living room in Texas and watch the hummingbirds come to the feeder like all day, every day.
Oh, that's my grandma does that too. She loves birds. Still, now she loves birds. She just watches
them. I love that. And so that was like a big memory of mine, being really little and watching the hummingbirds with her. And my grandpa, I think he knew he was going to die. I don't really know why, but he always told me and my mom, like, if I die and you ever see a white or a yellow butterfly, it's me, right? Mm-hmm. And at his funeral, a bunch of butterflies sat on his casket the entire funeral and until the service was over, all these white butterflies. And until the service was over, they flew away when the service was over. And it was just like very beautiful and like interesting and like whatever.
Wow.
And even just like now, if I think about him, like the next day I'll see a white butterfly, like always, whatever, you know. And the psychic comes up to me and she's like, they're painting me a picture of hummingbirds and butterflies. And I was like, that is so weird because I've never talked about this on the internet. Yeah. Absolutely ever. And then she told me my last memory with my grandpa, the last time I ever saw him, we were at a beach in Galveston, Texas, and I was wearing a purple swimsuit and like, I remember it, whatever. And she told me about that. She was like, he keeps replaying me this image of him holding you on a beach and aww, you're in a whatever, blah, blah. So I was like crying and it was just, it was really crazy. Right. So ever since then, I believed in that. And I also knew that like my grandma, I don't know, she's coming forward. She's doing her big one. Right. And so I didn't tell you this, but a couple before our last show, I just was having all these interesting dreams about my grandparents and my parents. And, you know, I get sad sometimes. Like, it is just sad. Like, I'm doing this whole big fucking world tour. And I wish my parents could have been a part of my life and see their daughter do these things. And I wish they were good people. And all that stuff just makes me sad sometimes.
That's how I ended up sobbing over my egg salad sandwich.
Yeah.
It's like whenever really big, good things happen and you want to share it with someone, you can't. It's like the shittiest feeling.
It really just is. And obviously just the deep sadness of just wishing I had parents who were good people will always be with me. And I ended up really crying to Makoa about it. Like just on the last night of tour. Like I just, for some reason, I was really sad about it. And he, you know, he was really there for me and amazing and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I went to bed that night and I had all the same dreams, like my grandma and whatever. And then you send this TikTok of this psychic woman saying that my grandma came to her to tell her, like, I'm going to be a good mother one day. And like,
oh, how interesting.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, be able to like rewrite that. And like in her caption, she put like, you've clearly been through a lot.
Oh, but
like,
that'll make me cry.
Isn't that kind of crazy and interesting? I know.
I didn't cry on tour. Well, until the last day.
Same. I don't know. And I think that's also just the rush of emotions. Like at the end of that, I felt the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just, yeah. I'll cry too if I really get into it, but it was just kind of
back to being emo. Yeah. That is crazy. You are going to be a good mom.
But isn't it? I definitely think so too, but I just think it's so weird that.
Like, what are the odds of that? Like, out of.
The day after. Like, I showed it to Makoa and I was like, how weird is the like timing of this psychic when we were just having this conversation last night?
Huh.
My grandma really just has her big one coming through to the psychic.
Damn. I want my grandma to talk to a psychic.
Yeah, that's a little nutty.
Or anyone.
Yeah, but you didn't cry on tour and.
I didn't. I was really like mentally better, I think, on tour.
I think you really.
I had less time to like sit in my own head.
Yeah. And I was proud of you for also being on your regimen. Cause, you know.
If your life feels a little chaotic, like the drama that always seems to follow influencers, Thrive Market can help bring some order to your routine. Thrive Market is an online, membership-based grocery store that delivers high-quality groceries right to your door. Everything shows up fast and easy. Clean snacks, pantry staples, even supplements. They carry trusted brands like Rouse and Chomps, so you can shop from your couch and skip the stress. Plus, over 1,000 sketchy ingredients are restricted, so you can feel good about what you're eating. Go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and get 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I think that gabapentin really helps you.
It did. Oh my God. Like I would have died if I hadn't had that.
Dude, like thank fucking God for SSRIs and shit. No, and
I don't know what Wellbutrin is. It's not an SSRI though. I don't have good experience with SSRIs. Gabapentin, I don't also know what that's for. I'm pretty sure it's like for nerves or like your actual nerve damage.
Oh, but, really? Oh yeah, that's what they made it for.
But it helps me just not.
I think you were just so
really anxious.
Like your emotions were just so regulated and I was so happy for you because I was like, oh my
God. Well, I was very preventative about it. If I felt like I even had one thing that was like slightly triggering, I would just take something because.
But obviously like no one wants the negative parts of their fucking mental shit to like come forward. But I was I felt so happy for you like the entire time. I was like, Brooke is fucking.
I was very happy too.
Like it's awesome. But yeah, I feel you about the rush of emotions after, though. It's nutty.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I think also I, like, wasn't, there's, like, probably a lot of things that I would have normally been, like, working through and thinking about that I wasn't. So then, like, as soon as I, my responsibilities were done with, I was like, oh, fuck.
I feel the exact same way. Yeah. That's, yeah, because exactly, like, all, anything you're going through, you got to put on the motherfucking back burner during that shit.
Yeah.
You know, or anything you feel.
God, I really feel for people, like, who just tour always. Like, I don't know. I just didn't really understand what it was like. And I remember watching, like, not the tour, like, nothing. It's not like this negative thing, but, like, it is really fucking, like, draining. I remember, like, watching, like, Billie Eilish's documentary, and I'm like, God, if I could do that, it would be the best thing in the world. But it's like everyone else's lives are going on alone, and you're living the same day over and over and over again. And it, like, is kind of like,
I hated how much people misconstrued what we were saying.
Yeah, I don't want it to sound like ungrateful or like out of touch, but it is just like, it's just, it is mentally hard.
Every single person would find it mentally hard. I think it is, like, even just that, living the exact same day over and over again. And I don't mean that. I know that people who go to their job live the same day over and over again.
But
that is not what I mean. Like, but they're still able to socially interact with people differently and have just different things go through their brain.
Yeah, I like, compare it almost to like watching the same movie over and over and over again with your hands tied behind your back. Like, and just having, you know what I mean? Like, you can't.
And the good parts are awesome. But yeah, just mentally, it's...
No, it's amazing. Artists, it's a great movie.
But that is why...
Amazing movie.
That's why all artists who usually artists who tour, for the most part, unless you're fucking Taylor Swift, but I, like, artists who tour a lot go crazy. Like, it makes perfect fucking sense to me. Why? Like, Justin Bieber...
I don't know, but
like,
I also get the side of it where it's like, no one wants to hear anyone in our position complain about.
And I loved it so much more than any negative side of it. Like, yeah. I can't wait to fucking do it for.
Well, that's the thing now. It's like, at the time I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Like, I can't wait to be home. But now I'm like, oh, that was fun. Let's go.
And I think that the live shows, like, just with Coachella in these next few weeks, and like you said, living with shit in mind, is these next live shows are going to be fucking insane for sure. I think it's also, I really like got in my head about the gratitude of how cool it is to sit down.
Start with gratitude.
To 6,000 people, really. Let's say we play 2,000-3,000 shows, right? And have inside jokes with all of them. It was like, that was the coolest takeaway, is like, how cool is it that we get to go out here and like have inside jokes with all these fucking, like, funny girls. Like, that was just the coolest thing in the world to me.
And like, just that it's almost all girls. Like, that's the most thing ever. Like,
it was all girls and gays and boyfriends who got dragged. We had an entire bit where we would like talk to the four men in the crowd who got straight men who got dragged by their girlfriends, and about how like it's all downhill from here for them, because like it's for the girls and the gays for the most part, you know. But oh my God, I'm just excited to go back out. I really fucking am.
Me too. And I promise it's just gonna keep getting better and better, so you go ahead and buy those tickets.
I think they're sold out.
Nope, we add more.
Can we talk about P. Diddy for a second?
Sure.
The police went and they raided his house, but it's so clear that it is not a silly little raid. Okay. Yeah. They're not looking for guns. They're not looking for, you know what I mean? Like, and they're raiding all of his houses now, like wherever they all are. And he's fleeing and meeting with sketchy people and hopping on planes and all this fucking shit, right? Shit like that just interests me so much. Like, I go down the rabbit hole, right? And last night I'm on Makoa's phone and his For You page is all that shit. Cause his For You page pretty much is just a guy's For You page as is. So it's like, already rap shit and whatever, so all he has to do is watch 2 P. Diddy videos for that to be his whole.
Yeah.
So I took his phone and I was looking at his For You page and watching all these videos on it, and it is just so the fucking definition of that shit being right under our nose the entire time. The amount of celebrities like Cat Williams and just so many people who have been saying for years like P. Diddy is trafficking these children and people, and nobody did anything about it. It is so fucking nuts to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard about it, but I also don't fucking hear about P. Diddy in my day, like in my life.
Look at this TikTok that I need to.
I did go to his house.
What?
With Isabella, I think. Wait. Yeah, I went with Isabella
to P. Diddy's house.
Yeah, in Miami.
Any more lore?
No.
Like just a party, and it just happened to be his house.
It was only a few of us, but
how did you get invited?
I don't remember. I know it was in Miami, and I've only been to Miami 2 times. Once with you. and once with someone else or with my other friends. Oh, wait, maybe it was with my other friends. I don't know. We all went to his house. It's like this like Asian, like Japanese style, like beautiful house.
How, like, and one of your girlfriends just happened to get invited and you went.
Yeah. Or it was like, so like someone we were with was like, let's go to Diddy's house. And I was like, slay, let's go to Diddy's house. And he was there, but nothing happened.
Well, I'm really happy nothing happened. That's fucking nuts, Brooke. Okay, like, look at this.
Hey, did y'all ever see this whenever Diddy went live with this girl right here?
My name's Ava. I'm a Scorpio.
No, no, no. What's your last name?
Ava Combs.
What's your other last
name? Like, her even just starting off, my name's Ava. I'm a Scorpio. Like, that's weird.
Yes, it's breaking news. Diddy adopted a white child. I want you to tell them the story about how I adopted you.
You watch the whole video. Her eyes look so scared. She's like, Diddy took me off the streets. And like all these men are behind her, like laughing. Like, and it's just, it's fucking eerie. Weird. And then all the comments are saying that she's this girl, Ava Grace Baldwin, who went missing when she was 6 years old.
Oh.
And like, that's what, and then like Orlando Bloom, like from Disney Channel. Remember Orlando Bloom?
Of course.
He did an interview like a year ago saying like all these kids go missing and like then they're showing up in like commercials and they're at Diddy's house and they look just like the missing child that's still missing. And
obviously like something is really serious about it. But like the way my brain works, I'm like, there's just no way like people really do that.
The way we analyze shit is just so different because I'm like,
like,
no.
I know it's real. Of course, like, it's so real and it's so serious, but like, it just blows my mind because I'm like, I can't. It's kind of the same way I feel about like I remember watching like the Turpin documentary and thinking like, how did those two people find each other? Like,
yeah.
How do you find out that like your spouse or whatever it is also interested in doing this like crazy fucking like horrible abusive shit?
I think so much of things like that have to do with grooming.
Yeah.
Because even like I was just saying earlier in my book shit, I think about so many things that essentially I was groomed into situations of like doing, you know what I mean? And it like you trust people and they make you think it's normal and they make
That's, I guess what I'm saying is like, I just can't imagine like, who's the first person to say like, oh yeah, by the way,
yeah,
you into sex trafficking?
I know. And that's,
you know what I
but
mean?
But it definitely like, just is never said like that. Like it's probably yeah, of just course slowly. Not.
Like I things mean, become like more and more normal until it's like really far from anything. Like
I think I've been going down the rabbit hole. Like I just want to know why. Like why was Diddy allegedly doing these things? Like why?
There's no amount of money that could make that make
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, it can't be money. But is it some Illuminati shit where he was blackmailed into this shit? And
well, I also saw something like where people were saying he's the fall guy, like that, like they're going to use him or the government. I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything, but like.
I think everything like that.
That's not so out there for me to think about. Like,
same with like Epstein. That is, it's so true. Like one person just becomes the face of it when in reality it's. Hundreds
yeah, so that a lot of people can
get away with it and keep doing it.
I mean, I'm lucky to be able to just like, but it makes me just, I can't think about the fact that that really happens in life.
I know. That's also how I felt watching this Quiet on Set documentary. I was debating on if I even had anything to add to it, and maybe I don't, but did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet.
It's so fucked up and so interesting. I loved Drake Bell so much growing up. He's one of my first concerts, and I really loved him. And what happened to him is insane and so fucked up. People are listening because it's Drake Bell, but I can't imagine. Obviously, that's what the whole documentary is about, is how many other child stars this shit happened to. And
I'm sure.
I guess you and I also did have very different experience. We've had very different life experiences, and you are very lucky to have kind of come into this as an adult. And Trevi and I talk about this a lot, like about how we were kind of the first round of child stars in the social internet media. In the social media realm. And like I said, I ended up reading Jeanette McCurdy's book and all that. And like Dan Schneider definitely was just the fall guy. Like there are so many other guys who are just like him. And it really had me thinking about so much shit I saw at like 15 and how sexualized I was. And like,
yeah. And you think it's normal when it's happening, but like, it's not until you really like.
And reading Jeanette's book was so interesting to read from a child's perspective who had a parent who forced them to do it all. My parents just weren't smart enough. Had they known they could have fucking sold me to fucking Joe Schmo, like they would have, like, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm grateful that
it was your own choice.
My own choice. So everything was my own choice, but I can't imagine had things like, I still got roped into so much shit where I was made, like, I can't even imagine the other way fucking around. And it's like, I don't even know. It makes me like, I hate Hollywood so much. And it's so sad that all of this, all child stars, it stems from children's joy. Like, and yes, there are the cases like Jeanette who didn't want to do it, but like Drake Bell, he wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, more often than that, it was my fucking dream. I would have died. Like, I used to look at like Hannah Montana and shit, and I'm like, oh my God, I would beg my grandma to take me to auditions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like,
and like Amanda Bynes, like all of that, like how they just wanted to.
Yeah, they just wanted to go do something and have fun, and like it ended up just being like such a traumatic, horrible experience.
Yeah, and like it's just the robbing of childhood.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. I feel like I experienced a taste of that, but I can't even imagine all these children who've just fully had their fucking entire childhood robbed. It's so nutty to me. Yeah. Just all Diddy, everything. Just like, it really is just, Hollywood can be such a sick, sick place.
Yeah. I'm just glad it's becoming, or it's like, it's not going to be normal, you know, like in 10, 20 years. Like, nobody, it's not going to happen the way that it has like historically, because it's like people were getting away with it, so they kept doing it. No one's getting away with it starting now, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
If your life feels a little chaotic, like the drama that always seems to follow influencers, Thrive Market can help bring some order to your routine. Thrive Market is an online membership-based grocery store that delivers high-quality groceries right to your door. Everything shows up fast and easy. Clean snacks, pantry staples, even supplements. They carry trusted brands like Rouse and Chomps, so you can shop from your couch and skip the stress. Plus, over 1,000 sketchy ingredients are restricted, so you can feel good about what you're eating. Go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and get 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Which is great. People are afraid. Good, and they should be afraid, but like,
I'm even very happy to see how much these mommy vloggers and shit are now getting called out for their fucking behavior as well, because that.
Yeah, as they should. Ren's mom, fuck you.
Fuck that bitch. And it's so funny because I follow Ren. Her videos were my favorite thing in the world.
I know, it's hard too.
She was my dream.
And I have an innocent mind, so I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my God, she's so sweet.
She's the sweetest, cutest little girl in the world. It's like my dream fucking, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, she's just a dream. Having her is a dream. But to think that all of that was just to like exploit her is so crazy. And I've always felt some type of way about family channels and all that. And the line of that is so nuts. And that mom, did you see that? The mom who had her kids like chained up and tied up, and she was a fucking blogger, and she was blogging.
So had so much money. Like it, oh my God, it makes me fucking sick.
And did you know she journaled? I don't know her name. And
they have like the most beautiful home you've ever seen. And like, it's just like, it's like a $6 million house.
Well, and lucky for those kids in a way that she journaled it. She journaled all of it. Like, and she was writing like, they are the devil, so I'm not going to feed them, so that the devil, like she's clearly off her fucking rocker.
That's, and it's so fucking
crazy. I'm so happy she got caught. But isn't it fucking crazy too that she only got up to 30 years for what she did to those kids?
So, so stupid.
What?
Yes.
Ruby Frank.
Why did I think Amanda? It's like the Turpins. It's literally like the Turpin family. It just doesn't make sense. Like, I can't imagine two people coming together and both being okay with that. Like,
I couldn't agree more, dude. I really couldn't. But yeah, I think the dad got nothing. She got up to 30 years, and you know she's going to get like 5 with parole.
I actually don't know enough about this to like, I really have only seen like little things, but I saw the pictures of their like duct taped hands and feet.
Yeah, and they were down there for like days and he escaped. And it's so crazy because in all the vlogs, then people went back and put all the pieces, and she's like, her oldest son, it's like, he wasn't grateful to go somewhere with us. So we took his room away. He'd been sleeping on like a mat in the, like, you're loaded, and you're just all the psychological torture that That was like nothing in comparison, but I just saw that clip and it's like the judicial system blows my fucking mind, dude. Like people are in jail for the rest of their lives for marijuana and this woman is going to walk free one day.
And it is so crazy too, because on the opposite end of it too, there's a lot of people who literally lose their children over like things like actual good parents who lose their kids to like CPS and stuff like that. Like everything is so fucking wonky and horrible.
Yeah, it's so fucked. I hope she burns in fucking hell. I'm so for real. And it's, even just that, it's like, now do they go into foster care? Like the Turpin situation is so sad how all those kids got separated and had a way more fucked life.
After. Yeah, and are abused in foster care. It's fucking horrible.
I would love to be a foster parent one day.
It's really cool. Like, we had a foster mom, Carrie, who like took, she was like our family.
Yeah.
Because she would like, you know, my sister would live with her time to time. Like my cousins always lived with her and stuff. And she was, Lila and Natalie and everyone met her and all like the whole family. Cause she's still like a part of our family so much, but it is cool, but it's, I don't know if I could, like emotionally handle it because like you get so attached to the kids and then,
you know, Ari and all his best friends are 50 years old. Ari's best friend T is, she's like a second mom to him, but she fosters kids and every single time she takes one into foster she just ends up keeping them and now she has like
Carrie has like 11 kids
and
they're all her kids now.
I you know, I never want to give birth. Like I could see myself really living that life. Like I think it's so fucking cool.
I don't know, that's why I can't foster kittens, because I'll end up with more. I'm getting myself a second cat. I wanted to do it, honestly. I would have done it now, but yeah, we're gonna go back out, so I'm gonna wait till we get home.
I want a pet so bad, but I can't have one yet.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah,
but you could pet Murf.
I can pet Murf, and Makoa is like my sexy pet, so that's fine. I'm kidding. So I'm holding him hostage. He's finally leaving tomorrow. And I'm so fucking sad. Like, oh, I hate long distance.
Have to hang out with me boyfriend. Yeah, lives.
I am very excited.
Just kidding. No. I have 10 boyfriends.
I am going to Vegas tomorrow. I'm going home for Easter, but I'm also just going to fucking Vegas. Hunter's there and a bunch of people are there right now and I'm going to go gamble and I'm so fucking excited to go fucking. Ah. I heard this rumor that Bruno Mars.
Is $50 million in gambling debt?
Yes.
I think I debunked it.
Yeah, it's not true, but I believed it was true for like a week. And I was like, oh, it's just so, because like in my head, I'm just like, oh, it's so light and fun. But it's like people really fucking go under.
People kill them. It's like their number one reason people kill themselves.
I
know.
I really do it in moderation. The way that like how much I gamble is honestly perfectly fine, which is good. Okay. But it is getting so interesting. Like tomorrow, the hotel I always gamble at, they booked me a big fat suite for free. They're sending
You're at that level.
They're
now
sending me a Rolls Royce to pick me up for my flight tomorrow. Like,
You're gambling too much money.
Like,
it sounds.
I am. I think I'm in, but I've been winning. Like, I really, how much I've spent is like, because the poker keeps me good because I play these tournaments for hours and I win like 5-10 grand. So then in my head, it's like, okay, I've won this amount of money. So then if I go to Vegas right now and I gamble like $2,000, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you don't ever gamble $2,000. You always gamble more than $2,000.
That was I just bold-faced lied.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, you're right. Probably the whole 10. But
this is just like the drinking. There's no such thing as moderation.
I think I still really, really genuinely, if I went to my life's total, like I'm not down crazy. Like I think that I'm good. Like I really fucking am, but not good at gambling. I mean, like I'm chilling. Like I haven't done too.
Yeah.
I haven't done too much yet in this life.
Just scares me. I'm not at a level yet where I feel like I can just bleed money.
And I'm not bleeding it. I swear. It's like,
I know, but even like, I don't think I've had enough fun gambling for it to be like a fun thing to do.
I think it really,
it just feels like I'm just like putting money in the trash.
And unfortunately, my childhood has so much. It feels like home to me. It feels like my childhood. Like I, like that. So I mean, I love going to Vegas and I love gambling. But I mean, I don't fucking know. I'm trying so hard, you guys. I'm playing in another poker tournament on the 19th. This is a small tournament, and I'm so excited. And again, they're flying me out. They're paying for me to enter the tournament. Everything is free. So I'm so stoked. But the company is begging me to have Brooke join me. Here's why I want you to hear me out, okay? You get flown out for free. Your hotel room is free. And you are playing in this tournament. And the winner wins $15,000. Second place is $10,000. Third place is $5,000, right? So you are going for free with a potential to walk away having won money.
But I don't know how to play poker.
But I want to teach you so bad. And
I don't learn to play poker and then play in a celebrity poker tournament in the same fucking 24 hours.
Do you know how many, so many people that played in that last tournament that made it to the final table had never played in their entire life? It is not rocket science. It is not rocket science. And do you know why that I have to have this conversation with her on the podcast? Because every time I've tried to have it in real life, she's like, fuck no, fuck you, shut up, bitch. Like, this is the only place I can get you to even like humor the conversation.
Because well, I want to like, it's a life skill. Like, I want to know how to play poker, but like, not yet.
Please, please. And they're begging for when you to play in this tournament. It's the 19th. I think we could really go.
Oh, 19th?
Of April.
Oh, wait. I have something. Let's go look.
And I think you'd actually be good at it. And Brooke, I feel like it's also like you love.
Wait, you can't even go the April 19th. We're like literally.
We're leaving the 24th.
Oh.
And I'm hopefully coming home with some money bags, sister.
What's
the Here's the thing, Brooke. You also love anything. That like,
I'm in Arizona.
No, you're not.
You have a bridesmaid's lunch on the 21st.
They're right next to each other. It's one day. I think you love anything that like you can beat a man at. And I think that you love anything too that like.
I've never beat a man at anything.
You know what I mean though. You know what I mean. Yeah,
and poker is like kind of like. Like it's in line with my pick me more. Like my pick me tendencies.
And hear me out, Brooke. In the last year, I have never had more straight men stop me to praise me about my poker skills since I've started doing it publicly. Today, my gardener was like, I was on Facebook and I saw you playing poker and you're actually really good. And we started talking about poker. I swear to God, today. Like, and I, if we could do it together. And
maybe,
it just,
maybe. I won't say no.
Imagine beating me too.
I'm not going to
beat
feel
you. So.
What if I'm hustling you so hard? What if I'm like a, literally a poker you champion?
You would be. I'm begging you to play in this tournament, and I have to get you to commit in the next couple days in order to do it. And I'm not stopping. I'm not. And any hobby you want, you can swindle me.
Roller coasters.
Deal. I will go on a full roller coaster day with you if you go to this poker tournament with me.
Y'all heard that? Six Flags.
But I'm gonna take six bars. Kidding, but
maybe we'll see.
She's not gonna do it.
Comment down below if you think I should play in the poker tournament.
I just think I really, it's not like I'm not trying to stage mom. Yeah, like I think you would have fun. I think you would enjoy it, and you'd be like, "Fuck yeah!"
Maybe we'll see.
We will see. Well, yeah, Mako's apparently leaving within the hour, so I'm gonna go try to convince him not to.
Okay, I have to take a picture.
But I love you, and I had so much fucking fun
I
on
love
tour.
You.
And I'm happy to be home. And these next few weeks, I fear, are going to bring us a lot of podcast content. And we just love you guys. Again, I know I said it in the last solo episode, but thank you for all the opportunities that you've brought us. You are our family and our best friends, and we can't wait to go hug you again.
Yeah, and we love you if you came to the shows, and if you didn't, but mostly if you did.
And yeah, let us know in the comments below anything you want to see on the canceled podcast, because I fear that a couple of those stacked episodes were not to the caliber.
Up to par.
So
they weren't.
Please let us know anything you would want to see or hear anytime soon. Goodbye.
Love you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.